From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of February 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll hear about the trade in Chicago as it relates to this morning's USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate and his comparative view of it from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And Matt Bennett will be here from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to wrap it up with a fundamental look at the cash grain side of the situation. Along the way, we'll check in on the weather forecast too. Things are not looking so good still in Argentina. We'll talk about that with Mike Tenora. T-Storm weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture updated its world agricultural supply and demand estimates. It increased, or rather decreased, the U.S. ending stocks for corn by 125 million bushels. They now stand at 2.352 billion. It increased the soybean ending stocks from 470 million to 530 million over the month. That's up 60 million bushels. And on the world stocks, we did not see a change. Let's see, we did see a change on the world stocks. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment. There, 3.48 million metric tons lower for the corn. Soybeans down 0.43 million metric tons. And the wheat down 1.92 million metric tons. Now, here to talk about those numbers and the impact that they had in Chicago, a strange one as it was, is Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd.
So, USDA lowering the ending stocks for 125 million bushels, and the trade simply did not care. It didn't seem to react very much at all to this number, though that's a really big revision.
It's a big revision in one sense, but in another sense, a lot of people kind of expected it. And we still have plenty of ending stocks, even with that increase. And the other thing that's probably, even though we did increase, we are still struggling to meet the USDA's projection on a weekly basis, and we're, you know, approaching the halfway mark of the marketing season. So even by having an increase, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to meet the increase. And I think that it was more of a reflection of what they did in Argentina corn crop. They brought it down a little bit. So then they kind of bumped up our exports on corn. You can kind of see over on the soybean balance sheet, they raised the Brazilian crop a little bit. So then they took some exports out of the bean private man balance sheet. So I don't think anything was earth-shaking. And the market is, even though the corn wasn't able to really have a strong finish, you know, we did have a good update there on Tuesday, and the market is still up at the higher levels. When you look at lead futures contract, we're still at the upper end of price ranges over the past several weeks or 2 or 3 months. So technically, the market still remains, I think, in position to strengthen as we go on into the growing season. But there's going to be some ups and downs by the time we get there. But I think seasonally, we're still in a typically seasonally strengthening market for corn.
Were you surprised that with the increase in the ending stocks for soybeans, that the trade managed to rally as much as it did?
Well, beans had a down day yesterday, whereas corn had an up day. So, again, I think it's mostly old news. I mean, supply and demand revisions are kind of, for the most part, unless they're a real shocker that comes with a quarterly report. Those are the shockers, the quarterly reports. But when you get into monthly supply-demand revisions from month to month, most of that stuff is kind of built into the marketplace one way or the other. So it's not a real big shock to the system. I think for the most part, supply-demand revisions sometimes kind of explain why the market did what it did prior to the report. So, but there is no doubt about it. I mean, even though the corn number went down a little bit because of the increase in exports, we still have a huge carryover problem in corn. The soybeans does look awful burdensome at 550 million bushels or sort of 530 million bushels. That is still a huge, huge problem. And, you know, so we're basically still twiddling our thumbs here, waiting around for a drought or something to take this market higher. And that's still a few months away. For the most part, we're kind of in, I kind of call this February, March time frame as kind of the silly season, because you could just about tell any kind of story at this point in time in the marketing year, and it might get some traction because this is a very uncertain period here. We're kind of waiting around to see what kind of spring weather we're going to have. We're kind of waiting around to see what kind of planting mix we're going to have. So right in here, you could probably tell by any kind of story you want to. But overall, I think the markets are performing probably better than expected. Now, one thing that might be supporting this market, and I'm not really sure about this, but I do think the tax bill consequences with this co-op versus the private grain company, that in its by itself could be slowing movement into the grain trade, and that could be providing some underlying support to this market. And if and when they get that cleared up or straightened out, then the market may turn south on news like that. So that's something I think one maybe needs to kind of be watchful, at least looking over the shoulder. To my understanding, nothing is in the current legislation that they're voting on here today to keep the government open.
That's true.
But they're still working on it. It might end up into a farm bill. But the problem with any kind of law, once something becomes law, it's more difficult than you think to kind of unwind it. And I think that's what they're finding problems, that it's not as easy to unwind something once something is inked into law. And I think that's the problem that we're seeing right now.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Dan Zwickers with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, and will be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 6th day of March for our all-day Ag Outlook. We hope you will be too. You can by purchasing your tickets online right now at WILLAG.org or during regular business hours each business day of the week at 800-898-1065. One quick agricultural news story for the day. It may have taken about 3 years, but a lobbying campaign by the cotton and dairy industries to increase their subsidies may just pay off. The budget and disaster aid package, which was worked out by congressional leaders yesterday, would make seed cotton eligible for the price loss coverage program, which makes payments to growers when crop prices drop below certain levels. That's starting with the 2018 crop year. It would also eliminate the $20 million cap on crop insurance for livestock producers, allowing new policies tailored to dairy farmers to be developed and bolster the margin protection program for those farmers. The inclusion of those programs is a win for the cotton and dairy producers. And there is one other item of interest. There is no Section 199A fix included. That's the part of the new tax law that allows some of the grain marketed through cooperatives to be tax-free. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. On this Thursday afternoon, we're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, commodity market specialist here on campus, to discuss his view of this morning's USDA reports. Todd, we've already talked about this some on our program, but USDA changing exports, 125 million bushels for corn, dropped it, 60 million bushels higher for soybeans. The trade didn't seem to care, and then I guess went on to trade weather out of Argentina. But I'm wondering what you thought about those two numbers and the exports and how they changed and where you stand today on them.
Yeah, I agree with the direction with their changes, but not with the magnitude. I've been above USDA on corn exports since the marketing year began. I've got them right now at about 1.975 billion bushels, which is 50 lower or 75 lower than what USDA just said. Well, I'm looking at the numbers. They could hit 2 billion bushels pretty easily. We're starting to build export numbers. You're seeing the sales pop, and you know there's a potential there if we have short crops in Argentina. They lowered Argentina production 2 million metric tons, and by all accounts, it could be more than that before it's all said and done. So there is a potential there, and we're seeing building export market, especially if we see China come in a strong way, which is starting to sound that way. And if it does, I'll adjust my numbers more. I sort of wait and see on those kind of issues a lot of times. But I agree with the direction. It seemed like a big move to me, and I'll be interested to see how it shapes up over the rest of the market here in the corn market. But as far as corn's concerned, that's just another indicator point of the huge demand we've been building for corn over this marketing year and early in the last year. We're grinding ethanol at an unbelievable rate. Exports are moving up. You know, feed and residual's been good. I'd like to see it stronger, but we'll see where it is in the second quarter of the marketing year come March 29th. So it's looking good for demand for corn. Thing is, we got a lot of corn. Even with that number, they're still pegging in ending stocks at 2.35 billion bushels. So I think there's some glimmer of hope for corn. And you know I'm a bit of a corn optimist. I've been saying that for a while. So we'll see how it goes. Soybeans, I've been below USDA on soybean exports since the marketing year began. And they blew right past me. I have mine at 2.14 billion bushels of exports, which is 40 more than what they just came out with. Now, I will say soybean exports have been pretty poorer than we would expect at this time of year. So for them to hit my number, we're going to have to pick it up a little bit over what the normal average is for the rest of the marketing year. I'm not necessarily saying that 2.1 billion bushels is too low. You know, we could see that kind of thing, especially if Brazil's crop turns out to be as big as what's shaping up to look like. You know, USDA raised Brazil production by 2 million metric tons, and there's been reports it could be, you know, instead of 112, it could be 114, 116, who knows? So we'll see. But simultaneously, they lowered Argentinian production by 2 million metric tons, so, you know, it's a bit of a wash between those two countries in production in USDA's reports. A lot of the chatter and noise and crop scouts out of Argentina, you know, I've heard 5 to 10% possibly in soybean loss. But you know, as we've seen in the United States, you shouldn't count soybeans out till it's harvest. So I'm sort of hanging out off that a little bit. But yeah, that put soybean ending stocks above at 530 million bushels, and the market's just shrugging it off. And I think they're trading weather. How big a weather premium can Argentina have? We'll find out, I guess. But
yes. I guess we're going to try to find out. The problem is we may find out, and you won't really have, unless you pull the trigger on soybean, new crop soybean sales, old crop soybean sales, I think it would be pretty easy to pull the trigger on. The new crop would be very difficult.
It would be tough. You know, I've been going around talking about, is it time to market new crop soybeans, at least some of it, in this rally. I'm not saying extend yourself too much, and there's a number of ways to go about doing that. When I look forward to this year's price in soybeans, I feel like there's a lot of downside risk. And, you know, that prospective plantings report, you know, my fear is we're going to put in a lot more soybean acres. And my worst fear is we put in more corn and more soybean acres. But that's a fear. But, you know, end of March, if we continue to see anemic exports in soybeans like we've seen, and acreage looks like it comes up, barring some kind of just unbelievable problem in Argentina, we could see some downward price movement. But that's a month or so away. But these reports, I agree with their direction. I'm not quite sure about the size of those moves, but all the signals are there: strengthening corn exports, weakening soybean exports. I think that's right.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, Todd.
All right, that's Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Oh, by the way, Todd will join us at the All-Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House on the 6th day of March. Hope you will, too. The cost is just $30. Tickets are on sale right now at willag.org or by calling 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds, to take a look at the cash grain markets for the day. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. You're traveling again. Where are you today?
We did a farm credit meeting in Lawrenceville earlier today, and I'm going to Harrisburg tonight before I get to go home. So I'll be a little ways away from home, but definitely well-attended meetings again with Farm Credit this year. A lot of producers wanting to get out and get some ideas on maybe ways that they can manage a little more risk a little more effectively this year.
Were you at the meeting this morning during the USDA report at 11 o'clock? I'm going to guess that that was the case.
It was, and I tried to get done right at 11 so I could see the numbers. And then Jeff Nally was there with me, and he was able to kind of talk our way through them. And after he gave me the numbers, I said, so the corn market's up pretty good and the bean market's down pretty good, isn't it? And he just kind of looked at me cross-eyed, and we both tried to figure it out. So it was definitely an interesting combination of news and reaction to go along with it.
Jeff Nally, a good farm broadcaster from Kentucky, and does some work in the southern part of the state. Actually airs, I think, in Effingham and at WSOY, if I remember right, in Decatur, a couple of other places, too. So it doesn't surprise me. However, those numbers, they were pretty surprising that the trade didn't react, especially to the 125, or I suppose maybe to the 60 either.
Holy cow, yeah. I think one thing that I've wondered all along is if the trade hadn't all along felt like the bean carryout was maybe a little higher than maybe what it had been portrayed to be. Definitely it's a transition from what we've seen the last several years in a row of the USDA underestimating demand. And then, in the last couple months, we've lost 125 million bushels of export forecasted demand as far as the soybeans concerned, which, makes sense whenever you look at soybean exports to date. And so, you pick up a bunch of export demand with corn, even though, numbers wouldn't necessarily suggest that that's something we should have done. But by all means, it was certainly a much better reaction for the soybean market compared to the numbers that came out than what I would have ever guessed.
So what do you think will happen from here?
Well, I think from here, you've got to wonder where the money is going to go. I mean, obviously, are we going to be looking at covering more of the short positions for both corn and beans? Are they going to end up going long? I mean, with you taking that kind of carry out, from the corn market down 125, it certainly piques the interest, let alone the world situation where you're taking well over 10% of the world's corn carryover away this year versus last year. And that's assuming the Brazil crop doesn't get cut from 95. And I would bet anybody money that will be the case when it's all said and done. So, with Brazil and Argentina's crops maybe not being quite as big, world and U.S. carryout could end up being a little more interesting than what we might have thought previously.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Mike Tenora now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, let's jump straight into this. In South America, Argentina in particular, they've been having a rough time this growing season. What do you see today?
Well, it doesn't look real good for Argentina at the moment, and that's because it's been so dry for so long. You can look at it in any number of ways, whether you look at it over the last 7 days, the last 14 days, 30 days, 60 days, even the last 90 days. And you come to the same conclusion every time. Each one of those periods has been considerably drier than normal for Argentina corn and for soybeans and sunflowers for that matter. So all three of those major crops have been in a drought for the better part of the last one-fourth of a year. As we go forward, we need to see some big rains, and we need to see them now. Their growing season is coming to an end for sunflowers, and corn and soybeans usually trail that crop by 2 to 4 weeks. So we don't have a real lot of time here for things to improve markedly. And the way it looks right now, we have a fairly iffy forecast. There will be some thunderstorms here and there over the next 2 days. Most of those are going to focus on central and northern Argentina. That will include around 30 to 50% of their later planted corn crop and probably the same proportion of soybeans. But we're only looking for amounts of around 3/4 of an inch on the low end to 1 1/4 inches on the high end, most of that occurring over the next 36 hours. To the south of that area, where about 30 to 40% of soybeans are produced, we're not looking for much rain at all. So we're going to see dryness get worse for at least 1/3 of that soybean crop. And for the rest of it, things will stabilize a little bit. But after that, we have to wait at least another week for more rains to show up.
Is there anything you've been watching here in the United States?
Well, the big thing in the U.S. regards hard red winter wheat. It's been very dry in Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, and then extending into adjacent areas of Colorado and Texas. In fact, if you isolate out Kansas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska and look at their precipitation from November through January, it was the third driest period dating all the way back to 1895, with only 1911 and 1956 having been a little bit drier. That tells us we need some big rains. Now, we do see some rain chances out there going forward, so the forecast is a little bit more promising for rain, though we don't really have a great chance at the moment. We just have some low to moderate chances. Keep in mind, Todd, the climate of that area turns a little bit wetter each week through the end of March and then much wetter in April. So every week that we go by, rain chances, just from a climatological standpoint, go up. At some point, we're going to need to see some of these rains materialize. And again, there are a few chances out there over the next 2 weeks. So don't be at all surprised to see a little bit of rain in these drought-stricken areas. But we're going to need more in March, and of course we'll need some more in April too.
Hey Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world.